Okay. Third time works here. Okay, the recording is now started. Okay. So we are in the middle of Perek Yud Zayin, and last week Michael Sokolow was gracious enough to, or the week, our last year, Michael Sokolow was gracious enough to step in. And I know that we covered chapter 17, the first 30 psukim approximately, which is the onset of the, or the beginning, the lead up to the battle between David and Goliath, David and Goliath. And this is a, you know, this is an epic battle in the minds and the imagination of the Jewish people everywhere over the course of time. And truth be told, even in the Christian tradition, as inheritors of the Tanakh, the story of David and Goliath is a you know, captures a huge part of the biblical imagination amongst religious people, at least in the Judeo-Christian culture. And I think what is fascinating about this is that if you look at the number of psukim in which this war and this battle is covered, it's what, five psukim? It's Perek Yud Zayin. I would start, and this is being very, very, very generous, I would start in Pasuk 37, and by the time we get up to Pasuk 44, from 37 to 44, by the time we get up to 44, the whole thing is over. So that's eight psukim, and even in those psukim, they're not all about, you know, this grand battle, this grand, you know, between David and Goliath. You have the prelude, the preparations, the descriptions, you know. So it's fascinating that you have here just a few psukim that are extremely important, and we're going to get to those psukim. But before we get to those psukim, I would like to start with, and I believe Michael got up to Pasuk Lamed approximately last week, so I want to just go back to Pasuk 26. I think that's a good place to start. So we're in chapter 17, Pasuk 26. Vayomer David el ha'anashim ha'omdim imo. You know what, I'm going to, for those of you who don't have a Navi in front of you, I'll share a screen. Okay. There we go. So now that I'm sharing my screen with you, I don't actually see you on my screen. So if you have a comment or a question or something, you know, just feel free to pop in at an appropriate moment.
That's okay. Or can you hear me?
I can. We all can hear you.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. Okay. I can't tell if it's muted or not. Okay.
All right. Okay. So Pasuk 37. Here we go. And there. Vayomer.
We'll start. We didn't have the conversation between David and Shaul. We didn't have the difference.
Yeah, we were going to go back, Rabbi.
26, you said, not 37.
20, I'm sorry, 20, 26, not 36. All right.
Originally you said you were going to go back to 21. Those were the notes I took down. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, we're going to start from 26, and if we get a chance to go back to 21, maybe we'll start from there. We'll get back there. Okay. Pasuk 26. Vayomer David el ha'anashim ha'omdim imo lemor. And David spoke to the men standing with him. Maye asela isha sher yakeas haplishti halaz. What will be done for the person who will conquer this Philistine? Vehisir chirpam el al Yisrael, and remove the shame from Israel. Because after all, Goliath is threatening with his words and soon his deeds the stature and the integrity of the Jewish people. Am Hashem. Kimi aplishti harel hazeh. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Ki cheref ma'archot Elohim chayim. That he dares to defy the soldiers of Hashem. Now, what I want us to think about as we're reading these psukim is, I think that if you think about this story of David and Goliath, what you will find is quite a few allusions in the psukim to the story of Yosef and his brothers. Okay? And as we go through Pesukim, I'll point them out, but I'd like you to keep that sort of, those glasses on, those lenses, and look at these Pesukim through those lenses and see maybe you'll come up with additional allusions and additional connections that maybe I didn't think about or that I didn't raise. So here you have David standing forth and said, who is going to take on this Philistine? Yomer lo ha'am, and the nation, the people respond, Kidvar hazel emor, ko ye'aseh le'ish asher yakenu. The following will be done to the man who kills the Philistine. And they tell him indeed of what David's promise that he will, the person who beats Goliath is going to marry his daughter. Now, just here we have a Yosef connection. You have this nobody, and I'm not using that in a pejorative, but nobody of great renown, nobody of great significance, having these dreams of grandeur, right? And is that not Yosef? Yosef was the youngest of the sons, certainly not the child of great renown. And he has these dreams of grandeur. They're not called chalomos here, but in essence, it's the same thing. By Ishma Eliyav Achiv HaGadol, and here you have the older brother Eliyav, Bidabro Ala Anashim. When Eliyav heard him speaking to the, heard David speaking to the men, By Ichar Af Eliyav Bidavid, and Eliyav gets angry at David. Vayomer Lama Ze Yaradata, Valmino Tashta Me'at Hatzon Ahina Bamidbar, Ani Adati Ezedoncha Vezro Alavavecha, Kilamadr Osa Melchama Yaradata. He says, what are you doing here? What with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? In other words, you have responsibilities to watch our father's sheep, and you've abdicated your responsibility. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. You're a simple shepherd. Go and tend to your little stuff in the background. Ani yedati, I know well, zidoncha, your intents, your nefarious intents, ves roa levavcha, and also your maybe arrogance. Kilamadra os hamilchama yaradata, you came down here to watch the fighting. What are you doing here? And does this not remind us of the story of Yosef and his brothers, right? Yosef, who comes to see his brothers, and the brothers have no space for him, and they have no place for him, and they cannot stand him, and they look down upon him, and they see him with nefarious intentions. And isn't this what Eliyav here is saying to his younger brother? Who are you? You're a nobody. You're a nothing. Go tend to the sheep. Vayomer David, and David says, Me'asisiata, halo davarhu. And David replied, he says, What have I done? I was only asking what is the person who will beat the Philistine? What will he win? What's the reward? What is the consequence? Ayisov me'etzlo el mul acher, vayomer kadavar hazeh. And he turned from his brother, from one person to another, and asked the same thing. And the troops, vayeshivuhu ha'am davar kadavar harishon, and they all responded the same thing. So why is David seeking this question over and over again? So apparently this is not an informational question. Yosef is not, David is not seeking information as to, what will the winner get. But this is more like a question of disbelief. He's like, why isn't anybody doing anything here? Don't you know what the reward is being married to the princess, to the king's daughter, and to stand up for the honor of Israel? Why isn't anybody stepping forward? That's what he's sort of saying. And isn't this also a Yosef connection? Was Yosef not the one who would step forward to take responsibility when need be? His dreams, in fact, were dreams of responsibility. If you look carefully at the Pesukim about Yosef, it says, that when Yosef met his brothers, some of you might have been on the Chumash class last week, when Yosef met his brothers, so he remembered HaChalomos Asher Chalam Lahem. He remembered the dreams that he dreamt, not about them, that would be Alehem. He remembered the dreams Asher Chalam Lahem, that he dreamed for them. He remembered his duty. He remembered his responsibility. So here is David doing the same exact thing, that he's looking around. It's like B'makom She'ein Ish, Ishtad Alihios Ish. He's looking around. There's a great responsibility to be executed here, and nobody's doing it. Why not? And he's in disbelief here. So yet another Yosef connection. Go ahead, Kalman, go ahead.
There is an expression here that the same with Yosef. Katuv Shema, Vayishivehu ha'am davar. And Yaakov said to Yosef, Lech nara'e et shlom achecha, Vashiveni davar.
Oh, very nice.
And he's Vayishivu ha'am davar. He's looking for davar, for something.
Right.
He's searching something.
Okay, so you have here a textual connection that Kalman is pointing out. In both cases, it says Vayishivehu davar, or a construct of that. Again, here in the Navi, drawing our attention back to the story of Yosef. Thank you very much. Beautiful. I'm going to go back and share my screen. Vayishamu hadvarim asher diber David vayagidu lifnei Shaul. And I think I skipped a pasuk here. Pasuk 30. Vayisov meetzlo mul acher. Okay. So pasuk 31. Vayishamu hadvarim asher diber David, and it was heard that which David was talking about and inquiring about. Vayagidu lifnei Shaul. Vayikachehu, and this was told to Shaul. It was reported to Shaul. And they took him, and they brought him to Shaul. Is this not yet another Yosef illusion? Yosef interprets the dreams of the baker and the butler. It is told to Paro about what Yosef is discussing in the prison, and they yank him out of the prison and they bring him to Paro. So that's what you have here with David. They hear David hears about what's going on. It is heard what David is talking about. It is reported to Shaul, and then they take him. It's not that he goes; he's not a prisoner here. But the language here is like he is brought to to Shaul, just as Yosef was brought to Paro.
Vayomer.
Go ahead.
With Yosef said, I think Vayiruhu.
Vayiritzuhu min habor, right. Min habor. Vayomer David el Shaul, and David, Pasuk 32. David says to Shaul, Al yipol lev adam alav. Avdecha yelech v'nilchamim haplishti hazeh. So David says to Shaul, when he meets him, he said, don't worry about this. Al yipol lev adam alav. Let no man's courage fail him. In other words, let everybody relax. I have a solution here. Avdecha yelech v'nilchamim haplishti hazeh. Your servant, i.e. me, David, I will go and I will fight the plishti. Now, this is not exactly an allusion to Yosef, but it's close enough in that Yosef gives advice to Paro, and then Paro says, the guy who gave the advice, that's the guy who's going to do the job. So over here, David just volunteers himself. He says, listen, I have the solution. And the solution is, I'm going to go and take matters into my hands, and I will fight on your behalf. Another Yosef illusion. Pasuk 33. Vayomer Shaul el David. And Shaul says to David, Lo sucha laleches el haplishti hazeh. Shaul says to him, what are you, nuts? What are you, crazy? Who are you? You scrawny little person. Ki na'ar ata. You're just a lad. The Hu Ish Milchama Minu'urav. And Goliath, he's a man of war from the days of his youth. Look, you are a Na'ar, you're a youth, and he's a man of war from the time he was a Na'ar. Can't get a greater contrast than that. Now, Rabbi Amnon Bazak points out when Shaul rebukes, if you will, or challenges David over here. He says, you're just a na'ar. You're just a na'ar. You're just a kid. V'hu ish milchama. And he, Goliath, is an ish milchama. Now that language of ish milchama is a language which we know from Az Yashir, is how Hashem is described. Hashem ish milchama, Hashem shemo. Right? That's in Az Yashir. So you have here a fascinating contrast here between David, who is, you know, clearly not just being pompous and arrogant and maybe courageous in a reckless kind of way, but believing that in having trust in Hashem, and Shaul, who's just looking at the physical calculus here and saying there's no way that this can work out. And not just that, Shaul takes the moniker of Hashem, Ish Milchama, and thrusts it upon Goliath. That is to say that he is ascribing Goliath. He's not saying that Goliath is God, but in other words, he is giving Goliath the grand feature of being a man of war and forgetting that it's really Hashem who is Ish Milchama. So here you have this contrast. Now, if Shaul is sort of playing the in our allusions back to the Yosef story, playing the role here of Paro, of sort of not seeing Yad Hashem, David is playing the role of Yosef, because Yosef, and in two ways, by Yomer David el Shaul, David says to Shaul, Roe haya avdecha lavi batzon, are you impugning my capabilities as a warrior? I was a shepherd in my father's house, your servant, my father's house. Ubahari, Vesadov, and the lion and the bear would come, and Asa Zemeha Eder, and it would try to take an animal from the flock. Vyatsasi Acharav, and I, David, when this would happen, would go out, Vihikiti Vihitsalti Mipiv, and I would smite the ferocious animal, and I would rescue the sheep from the mouth of the predator. So you're just looking at me as a scrawny little kid. I'm much more than that. When the predator, the bear, the lion would come, I would take the lion by its beard, by its zaken, and I would smite it and kill it. I would hit it and kill it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And v'hayah plishti harel hazeh ki achad mehem ki cheref marchos elohim chayim. And I will be able to do the same thing to this arel, to this uncircumcised Philistine. Ki cheref, because the plishti Goliath has defiled and defied and cursed by his actions, has cursed the marchos elohim chayim, the soldiers, the representatives of Hashem. So what's the Yosef connection here? If you remember, when Yosef comes out of jail, or when before he comes out of jail, he says before Elokim Yaneh Shalom Paro.
Well, then he says something about Hashem.
What was that?
Fall in the hands of Hashem was something, but I don't remember the language.
Right. So when who gets let out of jail? The butler or the baker?
The butler.
And what does Yosef say to the butler as the butler is planning to his exit?
Remember me to Paro.
Remember me to Paro. So, and Chazal say that this was an expression of a lack of faith on Yosef's part. Instead of talking to this low-level, this low-level clerk, and he should have been relying on Hashem. So here you have David HaMelech when responding to Shaul's challenge. He starts off by saying, "Wait a minute! I'm strong. I'm powerful. I've ripped sheep from the mouths of lions and bears. I've taken on predators, and I've killed them. Are you questioning my prowess as a warrior?" But in a certain sense, this was not the right response, because he was really just playing in to the question to the description of physical prowess and might being the determining factor of success, and that fails to take into account the role of Hashgachas Hashem. And interestingly enough, give me 1 second, all right, Shaloni. And interestingly enough, Shaul, you know, seemed to have forgotten a little bit about Hashem when he looks at David and sizes him up as a weak guy. Nevertheless, when David responds by saying, "I am physically strong," Shaul is not impressed by that. But take a look at the next pasuk, Vayomer David, and then David responds, Hashem asher hitzilani miyad ha'riyo miyad ha'dov, hu yatzileni miyad ha'plishti hazeh, God who has saved me from the bear and from the lion, he will save me from the plishti, and he will enable me to be victorious over the plishti. And now, and only now, does Shaul actually respond. Shaul is convinced. Vayomer Shaul el David lech, and Shaul says, go, v'Hashem yiyeh imach, and God will be with you. In other words, even Shaul, who had himself failed a little bit to recognize, to remember divine hashkacha, when David was making his bona fides on his physical might, even Shaul wasn't convinced by that. But when David calls in Hashem, then Shaul is, in fact, is convinced. And isn't this yet another Yosef connection? Yosef first goes to the butler and says, "You help me," and of course right. That doesn't do anything. And now, now David says, like Yosef says, it's all in Hashem's hands. Hashem is the one who interprets the dreams. Hashem is the one who does everything. Then Shaul responds positively. And by the way, in this pasuk here, pasuk 37, and then I'll take your comments, Rabbi Shaloni. Just look at this pasuk. Vayomer David, and David says, Hashem asher hitzilani miyad ha'ari u'miyad hadov. Can anybody just think of a pasuk in the Chumash that reminds that sounds like this? Asher hitzilani miyad ha'ari u'miyad hadov. This is Yaakov and Esav, right? Right, Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov says, regarding
Hatsilani.
What? Hatsilani na miyad achi miyad Esav. Right? So here you have David not only expressing trust and faith in Hashem, but even the words that are being communicated draw forth from one of the great expressions of faith in Hashem back in Tanakh. Not Yosef, but Yosef's father Yaakov. When Yaakov says, Hatsileini na, save me Hashem, miyad achi miyad esav. And here we have Hatsileini miyad ari miyad hadov. Right? And isn't the bear synonymous with Edom? Am I mistaken about that? I think the bear is synonymous with Edom in the works of Chazal, if I'm not mistaken. And here you have, you know, the dove, right, is the enemy, and the dove is Esav. But in any event, I just think that not only is David expressing Emunah in Hashem, but the words that are being used to express it are from one of the most famous and one of the most powerful expressions of faith in Hashem that we have in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Rabbi Shalom, you had a comment.
No, you said it all.
I said it all, okay.
We see here the Shem Shamayim Shagur Betzid. The whole time he mentioned Elohim in the field. So a few times in the conversation here.
In the conversation, right. Right. Okay, so we have here, so this is yet another Yosef allusion here in the David Goliath story. Okay, let's continue.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The question is, why didn't David come out with that right away instead of saying he's strong like the dove, like the IRE? Why couldn't he just right away say, because of Hashem's, giving me that strength?
Well, just like Yosef, good question. Just like Yosef, also you could ask the same question. Why did Yosef, you know, do this first? And right, I think that the most correct answer is we don't know. But once the Torah, or in this case the Navi, records it, it is for us to interpret and to understand. You know, what exactly was going through his mind? I don't know. But just like Chazal say that Yosef, or the Mefarshim say that Yosef seemed to falter a little bit by reaching out to the butler for help. So maybe even though Yosef always had Hashem's name on his lips, but nobody's perfect. And so maybe here too, David also has Hashem's names on his lips, but he too is not perfect.
Rabbi?
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
Maybe just responding to him in kind, because Shaul maligned him as far as, you know, his stature and his physical appearance. So he first just replied to him about that.
Right.
And then he brought in Hashem. Not that Hashem was an afterthought, but I think he was just directly responding to what aspect Shaul was talking to him about.
Right. I think that's a good point, Barbara. And I would say that the Navi's recording this to us. There's a beautiful Musar Haskel here, that a person should never underestimate and never be even afraid in certain situations to invoke the name of Hashem, when that's really what they know is the central idea here. That is to say that you're right, Shaul does impugn David's physical might, but David already knows that his physical might is not what's going to really win the day. He's going against Goliath. I mean, he might be a strong, strapping young man, but he's no Goliath, right? To quote, I forgot his name, the vice presidential running mate many years ago against George Bush and Dan Quayle, and he said Lloyd Benson, when he was in a debate with Dan Quayle, and the interviewer said to Dan Quayle, you know, how can you know, you're just a little schnook, you think you can be vice president? And he said, well, it's a new generation, like John F. Kennedy was a new generation. And Lloyd Benson, who was about 112 years old at the time, said to Mr. Quayle or whatever, says, I knew John Kennedy. John Kennedy was my friend. And you, sir, are no John Kennedy. Right. So. But
another illusion.
Spell the word potato, Rabbi.
Yeah, okay. So my point here is that David at this time, it's true that he was being impugned for his physical might, but he knew that this wasn't the real thing. And he should have just stood up and said, you know what, you're right, I am a Na'ar. And this guy is an Ishmael Chama from the time that he's a Na'ar. But that's not what's going to win the day over here. Hashem Hatzileni Miyad Achi Miyad Esav. Hashem Hitziloti. It's Hashem. The whole thing is Hashem. And sometimes I think that we're a little afraid, maybe it's a reflection of a weakness in our own emunah. But sometimes I think we're afraid to say that to people. We're afraid to invoke Shem Hashem and to say that we have trust in Hashem and to say that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is running things. But even when a person is not engaging us in that conversation, they respond to it, just like here. Shaul ostensibly was should have been happy with David's response, but it didn't. He was nonplussed by David's response. Who cares how? But when David came along and said Hashem, then even Shaul, who wasn't thinking in those terms, he was convinced. So I think there's a message here about our being, our feeling a strength and fortitude of character and courage, not to be afraid to invoke Shem Hashem when we know it's the right thing to say. Okay.
But before.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a situation, and it says, Ali, Paul, Lev, Adam, Alav. Everybody was afraid.
Right.
Everybody was afraid. And here he comes, he says, well, I killed a lion, I killed a bear. And you know why I killed him? Not because of my strength, because Hashem Itzilani.
Right.
As Hashem Yitzilani.
Right.
The whole speech.
It was
introduction and then the punchline.
Right.
And the punchline was Hashem.
Right.
Hashem Itzilani, Hashem Yitziloti.
Right. That's okay. It. Very good. But I would just say, Rabbi Shaloni, that it's not just the punchline. I don't think it's just the punchline. I think it's a pause. Because look at Pasuk 36. He finishes talking about how he was so courageous with the lion and the bear. There's a samach there, which means it's the end of a parsha. Right? The end of Pasuk 36 is the end of a parsha. And then Pasuk 37, Vayomer David. And now when David sees that Shaul was not convinced, now we have a new parsha. Vayomer David, Asher Tzilani, Miyad Ari, Miyad Adov, Yasalini, Miyad Pashir, and that's its own parsha, its own statement in and of itself. And to that, Vayomer Shaul el David, Lech v'Hashem Haye Imach.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
Where is the Samach, Rabbi? Because I don't have one in my Navi. Before Vayomer Shaul el David Lech v'Hashem.
Looks like an app.
So if you, it's at the end of Pasuk 36. I don't know what kind of navi you're using, but there should be a space over there which indicates it's the end of a parsha, beginning of a new parsha.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. There's
another allusion.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say with Yosef that when it was Judah that interceded with Yosef regarding Benjamin's captivity.
Okay.
And here we have David, which represents the tribe of David, coming to the rescue of Saul, and his kind of was from the tribe of Benjamin.
Okay, so you have David, who's from the tribe of Yehuda, helping out Binyamin.
Saul from the tribe of Benjamin.
Right, okay, beautiful. And in the story of Yosef, Yehuda who saved Binyamin, right? Okay, beautiful,
yeah.
Wonderful. Another Yosef allusion there. Now let's take a look at Pasuk 38. Vayalbei Shaul as David Madav, and Shaul then clothed David in his uniform. Vinasan Kova Nechoshes al Rosho, and he put a bronze copper helmet on his head. By Albesho so Shiryon, and he put the protective medal of war upon him. So here you have the king Shaul dressing David in the clothing of the king, as it were. I mean, it's the military clothing, but it's the clothing of the king. And here is yet another Yosef allusion. When Paro takes Yosef and he dresses him in the clothing of the king and he gives him his ring for all to see, and he puts a mitznefet on his head, and he puts a turban on his head. So he,
a necklace.
What?
And a necklace.
And a necklace. So here you have David and Shaul doing the same thing with David. Yet another Yosef allusion. And
isn't
here,
it surprising, Rabbi?
I'm sorry?
That Shaul did it himself. It's surprising that he didn't have his servants.
Right. So again, Rabbi Amnon Bazak points out that this indicates the significance that Shaul is placing on this. There's no better way to indicate that you are investing the person with your authority than by doing it yourself. So he had a lot of invested interest in what was going on, and that is Shaul, that is, and that is reflected in him in his doing it himself. Ayal Beish Shaul es David Madav. In addition, The notion of putting the king's clothing on David might be an allusion to the fact that like niba velo yada masha niba, which means David Shaul is investing David with the authority of the king, and he doesn't even realize he's doing it. And from Shaul's perspective, and from David's perspective, he is seeing this, and that's like Yosef, right? Yosef sees the dreams coming to fruition. And here, I'll just bring you to the Ralbag. One second. Okay. The Ralbag says the following. Ooh, one second. Let's see if it's here. Okay. All right, I don't see it right over here. Maybe it's not the Ralbag, but let me just try one more. Okay. All right, I don't have it in front of me. But some of the Farshim points out that here you have David seeming to begin to realize the prophecy that Shmuel had told him all that time earlier. In other words, remember back in what was it, Perek Yud Gimel Yud Dalet, that Shmuel says you're going to be the king, and you're going to take over from Shaul, and Shaul's time is done. But it's only now that David sees that really coming to fruition with the passing of the clothing of the king Shaul to David. And it's a similar type of situation when Aaron invests the Kohanim in the Torah with the Kedusha of the Kohanim, and they are sanctified as the religious functionaries in the Mishkan. They are given the uniform, and it is through giving the uniform, the halbashat begadim, that they are vested with that authority. So here you have not just a Yosef connection, but an interesting, generally speaking, but you have specifically the idea of, just like Yosef, according to the Ramban, begins to see the prophet, the dreams being realized when he sees his brothers and he recognizes them and they don't recognize him. So in his mind, the prophecy is now coming true. Similarly over here, David sees the prophecy of Shmuel starting to come true. Okay?
By the way, Paro did the same thing. Vayas tzar Paro et habato al yado, ויישם רביד הזהב על צווארו, וירכב אותו מרכבת המשנה. פרעה himself did it.
Yes, correct. Right. 39. ויחקור דוד אס חרבו מעל למדה, ויואל ללכס כילוניסה, ויומר דוד אל שאול לא אוכל ללכת פעילה כילוניסיתי, ויסירם דוד מעליו. So David girded his sword over his garment, and then he tried to walk, but he wasn't used to it. And David said to Shaul, I cannot walk like this. And so he took off the kalim of war.
Rabbi, can
yes.
I
just... actually, one second. I want to go back one pasuk. I forgot to make one point regarding the clothing. It's not just that David is getting the clothing. Do you remember what happened with Shaul when Shmuel told him, you are no longer going to be king?
Yeah.
He was torn.
He tore Shmuel's clothing.
Right. So there's the ripping of the clothing. Again, I have to credit Rabbi Bazak for this this thought. But through the ripping of the clothing, that indicated the ripping away of the melucha. And now the clothing being given, as it were, to David represents the melucha, even though Shaul didn't intend it that way, but David can see it unfolding. Okay.
But
I'm sorry.
But the thing is that he took it off because he was uncomfortable with that. So maybe the same way, he was very uncomfortable with the fact that he was going to be taking Shoal's place. In other words, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, yeah, I think that's a very interesting thought, very interesting idea. So folks, we have in all of these ways this illusion, these illusions back to Yosef. What is the purpose of these illusions to the Yosef story? It's all well and good to see them, but what is the significance? So in this pasuk which we just read, and I think, Barbara, what you said is a beautiful idea, but I would like to suggest something else. David says, get rid of all this stuff. This is not what is going to ensure whether I win or lose this battle. Vayikach maklo biyado, he takes his staff, his stick in his hand. Vayivcharlo chamisha chaluke avanim min hanachal, and he takes five smooth stones from the riverbed. Right, and I don't know if I'm going a little bit too far with this, but didn't Yosef provide chamisha chalifot, five pairs of clothing for his brothers?
Well,
yeah. So again, that might be too much of a stretch, but if that were the only thing, I wouldn't say it. But in the context of everything else we said, I think you can throw this in as another Yosef illusion. So he says, get rid of all this stuff. Just give me a stick and some stones, right? Sticks and stones will break his bones. Vayasem otam bekli haro'im asher lo. He puts it in his shepherd's vessel. Uvi alkut v'kalo biado. And he had a sling in his hand. Vayigash el haplishti. And he approaches the plishti. He confronts the plishti. Now, thank you very much. Just like Parashat Vayigash. But in Vayigash, it's Vayigash Elav Yehuda, right? Yehuda is approaching, is going to approach Yosef. But nevertheless, it's yet another textual allusion to the story of Yosef.
Vayigash
El
Echav also?
What?
Vayigash El Echav. Later on.
Oh yes, you're right. Yeah, that is correct. I forgot. Vayigash El Echav. He does approach his brothers. Okay, good. So that's another reason to say that this Vayigash is not just a throwaway line, but it is intentional. Vayelech haplishti holech v'karev el David va'ish noseh hatzina lefanav, and the plishti, meaning Goliath, was coming closer, and his shield bearer was in front of him. Vayabet haplishti vayirez David vayivizehu. And Goliath sees him, and he scorns him, right? Yosef, ki hayon na'ar viadmonim yefei mare. He was a young lad. He was pretty, a pretty boy. And isn't this yet another Yosef allusion? Yosef, who was underestimated. Yosef was entirely underestimated. How does Yaakov describe Yosef in? In the Birchas Yaakov, isn't it I don't have it in front of me. Chachlili, that Yosef is described. Yosef is described as somebody who's who's pretty, right?
Fatma.
Right. So we're running a little out of time here. So actually, we have another 5 minutes. So let's you can go back to Birchas Yaakov. We can see the pasuk. At the end of Vayichi.
Yeah, last week in Parshas Vayeshev, it's called
Yefei So'ar V'Yefei Mare. Yeah. Right? And over here, Va'admoni Yefei Mare. So I was thinking of a different allusion. When Yaakov makes the bracha, and Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Ale Ayin, Banot Sada Ale Shur. Okay, not exactly the same thing. But what you said just a moment ago, Michael, that's a more direct one. Yefei Mare. So here we have again a David Yosef connection. underestimated, just looked like a pretty boy, you know, not really to be taken seriously. Vayomer haplishti el David, and the plishti says to David, Hakelev anochi ki etabai lai b'maklos, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks, like you're going to manage a dog? That's, you know, Vayikalel haplishti es David belokav. And the plishti curses David. Now, again, just in the light of everything else we said, when Yosef approaches his brothers, so, you know, they don't curse him, but, you know, they talk ill of him, and then they functionally curse him. You know, they take him and they throw him in a pit, and they have him sold out to Egypt. And and one other beged connection, wasn't Yosef the one who was given a special beged by Yaakov? And here, you know, David is given the special begadim. Right, so Vayomer haplishti el David l'chai lai v'etnaz b'sarcha l'of hashamayim ulevehemat hasadeh. So Goliath is very arrogant here, and he says, "I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the heaven and to the animals of the field." And what I think what that means is that I'm going to rip you into shreds. It doesn't just mean that I'm going to kill you and you will be left for predators. I think it means that, you know, I'm going to take you, I'm going to rip you into shreds. I'm going to throw you up in the air, and the birds will eat you in the heavens, and whatever lands on the field, the animals are going to eat you. In other words, this is going to be a really gruesome end for you. Ayomer David ala plishti, and David says to the plishti, Ata ba'elai b'cherev v'chanitu v'chidon. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. V'anochi ba'elecha b'shem Hashem tzva'os. And I come to you in the name of Hashem, Elokei Marchos Yisrael, the God of the ranks of Israel, Asher Cherafta, that you have cursed. And I'm reminded going ahead in time when David writes to Tehillim. And he says, "Elav arecha ve'elav asusim va'anochi elav arecha ve'elav asusim va'anachnu b'shem Hashem nazkir." Right? And so perhaps that line in Tehillim, you know, reflects this experience that he had with Goliath. And I think that every time we say "Elav arecha ve'elav asusim va'anachnu b'shem Hashem nazkir," it's a way of giving us the words, and now with this connection, sort of the psychological fortitude to feel that even though we might feel that we are just a small, insignificant speck against an insurmountable challenge and barrier, nevertheless, just like David, with reliance and trust in Hashem and the help of Hashem, overcame an apparently insurmountable odds of beating Goliath. When we dive into Hashem, Elav Arecha ve'Elav Asusim v'Anachnu b'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir, we are reminded that we too are like David and Goliath. We all have our Goliaths. We all have our, you know, our difficult times and our difficult moments. Nobody is free of them in life. And sometimes we feel very, very small and insignificant in the face of those overpowering odds. But we remember, Anochi ba'elecha b'shem Hashem tzva'os. Hayom hazeh yisagercha Hashem bi'adi. Again, referencing to Hashem, just like Yosef did time and time again to Paro. It's with Hashem's help that I am going to conquer you. V'hiki sicha v'asir sicha s'roshi me'alecha v'nasati es peger machaneh plishtim hayom hazeh la'of ha'shamayim l'chayat ha'aretz. And he says, I'm going to do to you what you threatened me. I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, very nice, Rabbi Shaloni. Beautiful. 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 Yeah, so this is a wonderful allusion to Yosef and his dream, the dream of the Sar HaOfim, and Yosef's interpretation of the dream of the Sar HaOfim. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. V'yedu kol ha'aretz ki yesha Elokim li'Yisrael. And all the people of the land will know that there is a that there is a God in Israel. V'yedu kol akol hazeh ki lo b'cherev uv'chanit yoshi Hashem ki l'Hashem ha-milchama Hashem milchama. Not Goliath ish milchama. Hashem milchama. V'nasan eschem b'yadeinu. And Hashem will deliver you, Goliath and the Plishtim, in our hands. Okay, I'm going to actually stop here. I can't stop here. Let's do a few more. I can't. You just got to read a few more psukim. Vayihiki kama plishti, and when the plishti got up, vayelech, vayikra, vayimaher, vayaratz, and David approaches. And look at the verbs here, these action verbs, one after the other. Vayelech, vayikra, vayimaher, vayaratz. It's like, you remember Avram Avinu when he goes to prepare for the Malachim. Vayishlach David es yado, he extends his hand, his arm, into his vessel. Vayikach misham even, vayikala, vayachis hash plishti al mitzcho. And he throws the stone, and it hits him in his forehead. And he falls to the ground.
Like Dagon
earlier from Moshe Perek Hey.
But in the wrong direction. Because if the stone is coming from in front of him, he should fall backwards.
Right.
But
oh.
Like Dagon, he's falling forwards at the feet of the Kodesh.
Right.
In this case, Dagon.
Right, right.
So that's fascinating too.
Yes. He's going against nature. And this is the simon that this is all Yad Hashem. Right, because if you take the inertia, the energy of a bullet or of a rock, so he should have fallen backwards, but he's falling forwards because this isn't teva. This is lamala min teva. This is all Yad Hashem. Vayechazak David min aplishti bakela uva even vayaches aplishti vayimisehu. David bests the plishti with a sling and the stone, and he strikes him down and kills him. V'cherev ein biyad David. And David had no sword. David had no sword. And then David goes, Vayaratz, Vayamod, Vayikach, Vayishlefa, Vayimisehu, Vayichras es Rosho. And again, like Avraham, he runs, he stands by a plishti, he takes the sword, he extends it, he kills him, and he chops off his head. Vayirua plishtim kimes kiboram vayanusu, and the plishtim see this, and they run away. Now, Rabbi Bazak points out that they should. Why did they run away? There was sort of a deal that had been made earlier by Goliath, right? That if you beat me, we'll be servants to you. So it means that Goliath didn't mean it, and nobody really thought it. And this was just an amasla. This wasn't a real deal. This wasn't any type of conditional thing. This was just an expression that they had no intentions of possibly losing. So when the remnants of the Plishti army see that Goliath is dead, they turn on their high heels and they run. And now
that's really interesting too, because the Plishtim never keep their word. Back with Avraham, back with Yitzchak, they don't keep their word back then either.
Mm. What do you mean? What do you mean by Avraham?
They made a deal with Avraham, a non-aggression pact, and then the Plishtim keep on renewing it, even though they are undercutting it with Shimshon.
Right.
Demanding that the Jews not attack them in Shoftim when you were teaching us that
right.
back last year.
Right.
So the Plishtim don't keep their word very well.
Right. So
they didn't keep their word here because they ran away.
That's what he's saying.
Taken as slaves, they ran away. So they
right.
didn't.
So he's saying. So
the Palestinians never.
Palestinian is a good name for them.
Yeah.
Pasuk
52. Vayakumu anshei Yisrael v'Yehuda, vayariu vayirdifu es haplishtim, The Jews get up, they run out, they chase after the Plishtim, Ad Bochai, the Ad Sha'arei Ekron. And Ekron is very important because this is the place of the god of the idols of the Plishtim. Vayiplu chalalei Plishtim b'derech Sha'arayim v'ad Gas v'ad Ekron. And the Plishtim fall along the road to Sha'arayim, not sure how to pronounce that, to Gat and to Ekron. And this is reminiscent of earlier on with the Dagon on the Sha'ar Habayit, if you remember that. Okay.
No.
All right. But leaving that all aside, what I think we get to here is what is the significance of all these Yosef connections? The whole story here, right? The story of David actually battling with Goliath is really five psukim from Mem to Mem Dalad. He takes his stones. He approaches the Plishti. He kills the Plishti. He looks at him. There's a conversation back and forth. How many psukim is the whole thing? It actually goes from eight psukim, however long it is. But by the time you get to, what is it, Pasuk Vayishlach David Esakeli, 49. All right. So it's not that many psukim. It's not that many psukim. But it's really not about these psukim. It's really about a bigger story. And the bigger story here is driving home the point over and over again about Emunah and Bitachon and Hashem. That is the whole Yosef connection here. Yosef is the story about divine providence being felt in the natural world in a way which isn't always so clear. And here too, you have divine presence. And the whole thing could really be explained away. The whole thing could be explained away. He was smarter, he was sharper. Goliath was a big lumbering guy. He was overconfident. Even falling forward, a wind came. You can make all kinds of terutzim as to what exactly went on here. But the story of David is the story of Yosef. And that is unbridled emunah in bitachon in Hashem. Not in the parting of the Red Sea. It's bitachon in God's involvement in the natural world, not lamala min ateva, because everything is lamala min ateva. But David's understanding that everything that's going to happen now in this natural experience is really al pi hashgachas Hashem. And that's the story of Yosef. And that's the point, counterpoint between David, certainly of Goliath, and Lahavdil, David and Shaul. Right? That's also the David and Shaul point, counterpoint. This story is not so much about how smart and how brave and how amazing David was, and it's all of that. But what it's really about is understanding Yad Hashem and Bitachon and Emunah and Hashem. Rabim Biad Ma'atim, the Hanukkah story. Right, so Yosef is connected to Hanukkah. David is connected to Yosef, which means that David is connected to Hanukkah. It's Rabim Biad Ma'atim. This is the story. And of course, that most certainly has implications, not just for the story of David and Goliath, but it has implications for every reader of the story in all subsequent generations, to learn, to appreciate, to inculcate, and invest within ourselves the strength that having emunah and bitachon and Hashem can afford a person. Elav arechav, elav asusim, anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir. That line of Tehillim, I believe, is inspired by this story of David and Goliath. Okay. Comments or questions? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a good evening, everyone. And God willing, we will pick it up again next week.
Yeah.
Thank you.